Well, welcome everybody to week 9 of virtual church. Let me say first off, happy Mother's Day to everybody. What a unique Mother's Day you're having this year, probably unlike any you'll ever have, sitting at home watching church on Mother's Day. I love seeing the pictures that you guys sent in of the craft that we had put out there. What an awesome job you guys are doing on those. I just want to say a special thanks to Julie for coming up with the idea for this craft for the moms to do. And I want to thank the Corderos for finding the exact craft and putting all the effort into the wood and all the ladies that stained every piece for you. But your artwork that you've done on them has been awesome to see. So thanks for sending those in. So anyway, on Mother's Day, every year we like to pick a lady from the Bible. You know, there's so many great women of the Bible. So we like to pick a lady from the Bible and talk about one of them and their experiences with the Lord. So this year, if I had to put a title on this message, it would be this. It would be Two Sisters, Three Stories, One Outcome. So we're going to look at a few portions of Scripture. We're going to start with Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 38 down through verse 42. Here's what it says. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Doesn't that just sound like two sisters working in the house? Martha, Martha, the Lord answered. Marcia, 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 the Lord answered. You're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So, okay, you got the scene, right? Jesus comes to town. Martha welcomes Jesus into her house. And Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet listening to him. And Martha gets ticked. I mean, there's nothing worse than doing all the work and having people just watch you. I actually got to play that role this week. It was awesome. I got to play the Mary role. We're doing some work on our offices upstairs here in our Marshfield building. And I had my brother come in, and Ryan was there, and they were laying down some floor, putting plywood in. And, you know, they're just working really hard, and I would just get up from my office and walk over there and just watch them work for 5 or 10 minutes and tell them what they were doing wrong. And then I'd just go back to my office and sit down and do some of my work. And then, you know, several times through the day, I'd just go in there and watch them work. So how irritating it must have been for them working for me to just come in and watch them work. So that's kind of the scene here. Martha is just ticked. She's doing all the work, and Mary is just sitting at the feet of Jesus. So she looks at Jesus, and she says, Jesus, tell her to help me. She's soliciting help from the Lord. But instead, Jesus gives Martha a mild rebuke. So just some general thoughts about this text. Jesus isn't condemning service and servitude here, because we see all through Scripture that Jesus says we are supposed to be servants. You might remember that in John's Gospel, chapter 13, he gave us the example of what we were supposed to be, real servants. I'm going to read the text. Jesus, knowing that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he got up from the meal, and he took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist, and he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. When he had finished washing their feet, he put his clothes on and returned to his place. And he said, do you understand what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. But now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. So Jesus, when he sort of mildly rebukes Martha, he isn't condemning servitude, because he tells us that we are supposed to be servants. You might remember when the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, he said that our attitude should be just like Jesus. He took on the role of a servant. I read a statistic that said the average American home accumulates 40 pounds of dust over the course of the year. Well, how many of you know somebody has got to clean 40 pounds of dust? So he's not condemning servitude. But what is Jesus saying? Jesus is challenging her attitude and her priority. So, you know, she's ticked that her sister isn't helping out at all. Here's the thought. You know that you've lost your joy in serving when all you can think about is how little everyone else is doing, how little everyone else is doing. Kind of reminds me of Peter when Jesus was restoring Peter to ministry, and he basically tells Peter how he's going to die. And Peter immediately looks at John and he says, you know, what about him? So Jesus is challenging Martha's attitude here and her priorities. I have a friend, Radhika Pierre. She used to go to our church. She lives in Florida. She might be watching this morning. And she has this little phrase that she likes to say. She likes to say, and it's basically mind your own business, but she's from Trinidad, and they have these funny little sayings that they just say every now and then. And her phrase is this. It's keep your nose on your face. Keep your nose on your face. And it just basically means mind your own business. Take care of, you know, you worry about you. Don't worry about everybody else. Keep your nose on your face. So ever since I heard that phrase, that has been a phrase in our home whenever we want to just say, okay, mind your own business. Keep your nose on your face. So Martha was distracted and she was too busy. It says there in the text, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. How often we are like Martha and not Mary. We get so busy with life that we can't even focus on spiritual things. We don't have time for God. In our busyness, we're not prioritizing what is really important, and that is our time with the Lord. In his classic leadership book, some of you might have read it, Good to Great, Jim Collins makes a simple but piercing statement about discipline. He writes, most of us lead busy but undisciplined lives. Effectiveness in life tilts towards discipline rather than ever-increasing accelerated use of time. That was Martha's problem. Her priorities were out of order. Jesus isn't condemning the fact that she's working hard. He's condemning the fact that she's missing the most important thing. Notice what Jesus says to her. He says, you are worried and upset. Verse 41, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. The word worried there means to be anxious. It has the idea of being inwardly torn and divided in two, of being distracted from what one's mind and heart and life should be focused on. So he says, you're worried. And the other word he uses there is upset. The Old English version uses the word troubled. You are worried and you're troubled. And that word means to be anxious. It means to be disturbed and agitated. It means to be in turmoil. So Jesus, he looks at Martha and he says, listen, Martha, you're disturbed, you're worried, you're upset, you're anxious. Really, he's saying you're stressed out. I looked up some signs of stress. See if any of these seem familiar to you. Frequent headaches, stiffness in the neck, shoulders, jaw, arms, legs, hands, and stomach. Irregular heartbeats, getting dizzy or lightheaded. Suffering from colds and flu or hoarseness, indigestion, nausea, discomfort in the stomach, difficulty falling or staying asleep, waking up feeling tired, cold hands or cold feet, excess perspiration, anger or irritability. So Jesus looks at Martha and he says, Martha, you're exhibiting some signs here. You're stressed out. You're worried and you're stressed out. Now, do you remember the passage in Matthew's gospel when Jesus told them, don't worry about life, don't worry about your clothing, don't worry about all of that. And then he ends it by saying, but seek first the kingdom, his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. What Jesus said there in that text is exactly what he's trying to tell Martha here in this text. You're worried and upset, and you're missing what you should be focusing on. And if you focused on that, some of these other things would work themselves out. Then he says in verse 42, but only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. What is the one thing? She sat at the feet of Jesus, listening to his words. Marcus Buckingham is one of the world's leading authorities on productivity and best practices. While writing his book about priorities, he said, you must learn to distinguish between what is merely important. Now, what was Martha doing? It was important. But we have to learn to distinguish between what is merely important and what is imperative. We must learn to place less value on all that we can remember, on more on those few things that we should never forget. Mary has chosen the better thing. What is the better thing? Listening to the voice of Jesus. So let's compare Mary and Martha here in our story. Martha was too busy, working and worrying nonstop. But Mary was comforted at Jesus' feet. Martha was concerned with preparing physical food, but Mary was getting fed spiritually. Martha was willing to work for the Lord, but Mary just wanted to be with the Lord. My summary would be this. Martha lost her joy in serving. She's focused on what others aren't doing, and she's too busy, she's worried, she's upset, she's stressed out, and has forgotten the most important thing, her relationship with the Lord. Now, lest we be too hard on Martha, let's look at the next story. So I told you, two sisters, three stories, one outcome. Let's look at the next story. It comes in John's Gospel, chapter 11. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was two more days. They didn't appreciate the fact that Jesus didn't come right away. Then he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. Jump down to verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Mary and Martha to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, but I know now that God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection, and he who believes in me will live even if he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who's come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary. And she pulled her aside and said, the teacher is here and he's asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. Couple more verses, just hang with me. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And Jesus wept. Okay, long story, but let me just tell you what happened in what we just read. I want you to notice, okay, you remember the first story, right? Martha's working her butt off. She's ticked at her sister Mary, who's sitting at Jesus' feet, okay? Notice the role reversal here. Martha, when Jesus comes to town, who is the one that runs to go see Jesus? Martha is now the first one running to go see Jesus. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, it says there in the text. I think she learned from their last encounter. Remember the last time she was too stressed out to be around Jesus, but now she's the first one to run to him. Where is Mary? Well, it says there in the text, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed home. So Martha, where is the Mary that we saw in the first picture? You know, at the feet of Jesus. Where is she? Jesus comes to town. She stays home. She doesn't even go out to meet him. Martha has to go back and get Mary and tell her that Jesus is asking to see her. So where is the Mary that was sitting at the feet of Jesus, hanging on to every word he spoke? Mary is like us as well. We have some Martha in us. We have some Mary in us. Her brother had died, and she was blaming it on the Lord. It said when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, and she said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, it's interesting that Martha had said the same thing to Jesus, but Martha added a phrase to it. Martha said, after she said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But then she said, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. We do that, don't we? So Mary seems to be the one now that's blaming the Lord. Martha kind of does, but says, Lord, I know. She has faith in the Lord, basically. She says, Lord, I know that you can fix this even now. But Mary doesn't say that. I hope you're following this story with me. We do what Mary did. When something goes wrong, death, disease, divorce, unemployment, whatever the deal is, it's God, where are you? If you were here, this wouldn't be going on. God, how could you let this happen? Can I just say, if that is your plight this morning, I want you to see Jesus' reaction to Mary. It said that when Jesus saw her weeping, he was moved in spirit and troubled. And it says that Jesus wept. Jesus wept. This is only one of two times in Scripture where it says that Jesus wept. The other one was when he saw the plight of Jerusalem. He wept over the city. If you want to know if Jesus cares, just read those verses. Jesus is deeply moved. He cares about what Mary and Martha are going through. In fact, the Bible says that that's why Jesus came. He came to heal the brokenhearted. Now notice the last story with me. So you following this with me? First story, Martha, worried, upset, too busy for the Lord. Mary's at Jesus' feet. Second story, Jesus comes to town. Mary stays home. She doesn't even go out to see Jesus. But Martha goes running to Jesus. Little role reversal here. Now here's what I want you to see in the third story. In John's Gospel, chapter 12. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany. By now, that town should sound familiar to you. Same town. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected and said, why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? For it was worth a year's wages. He didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As the keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. So here's what I want you to see in story number 3. Two sisters, three stories.
one outcome. Story number three. Here's what I want you to see. Now, Martha is back to serving. Remember the first story? She was serving, but she had a terrible attitude in serving, and she was neglecting the most important thing. But now we see that Martha is serving, but there's no mention of her being too busy, stressed out, or worried. No mention of her wondering if her sister was working or doing anything in the story. Here's what I want you to see in the life of Martha. Martha went from being too worried, stressed out, not doing the important thing, to now the third story. She has learned, I think, she's learned her to get her priorities in order. I think she learned that being with Jesus was more important than working for Jesus. Her priorities were now right, and she could find joy in serving without being worried and stressed out. Okay, what about Mary? Notice what we see in story number three about Mary. Mary is back at the feet of Jesus. Now remember story number one, what was Mary doing? She's just sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to every word that, hanging on to every word that he said. Story number two, Mary, she's at home, right? But now where is Mary in story number three? Mary is now back at Jesus' feet, but she's just not there receiving from Jesus. She's now serving Jesus as well. She's pouring perfume on his feet. She is serving Jesus. And in fact, she's giving back to Jesus extravagantly. It says there in the Bible, it says that it was worth a year's wages. Oh, how Mary loved Jesus. But now she's just not receiving, she's now giving to Jesus. So I want to say this or ask a question maybe in closing. Are there any Martha moms out there this morning on this Mother's Day? Stressed out. Well, you have reason to be stressed out, most of you. Talking to somebody this week, the husband's working from home. The wife is working from home. And the kids are all doing schoolwork at home. So mom, if you are stressed out during this time, you really have reason to be. But here's the question. Are you a Martha mom this morning? You're just stressed out with everything that needs to be done? Here's what I want to encourage you with. Let the presence of Jesus fill you so that you can grow like Martha did, from being worried and upset to finding joy in serving Jesus. Let's look at Mary. Any Mary moms out there? Maybe you've become disappointed because of a life circumstance. Don't let disappointment keep you from running to Jesus, because like Mary, you should be at his feet, pouring perfume on him, serving Jesus. Let me close by reading this prayer, a prayer for moms. In the book, What Every Child Needs, Angela Thole wrote a mother's prayer. It reads like this. Lord, when they scribble on the walls, please help me to see a rainbow. And when I've said something 100 times, please give me the patience to say it 100 times more. And on those particularly annoying days when I tell them to act their age, please help me to remember that they are. And while we're on the subject of age, Lord, when I lose my temper, please help me to remember to act mine. And through it all, Lord, the fingerprints and runny noses, messy rooms, unrolled toilet paper, broken knickknacks, please help me to remember this. Someday, these will be the days I will long to have back. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Julie, would you come and close us in prayer? I hope you ladies have a truly blessed day.